Welcome to the Wrestling Philosophy Show, where we discuss unique perspectives and beliefs on the sport of wrestling. Give us a follow or subscribe on various social media platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show.
It's time to start planning for next season's tournaments. Be sure you have Smitty's Corner Rugs on your mats to protect them and keep them clean. Get a hold of him directly at smitty43952@gmail.com. If you have a tournament, it's the way to go. It creates a custom coach's box so your tournament runs efficiently and keeps the mats clean since they use a top spray Mercy Killer. Welcome, Chris Von Druska. How you been, man?
Really good, man. How about you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. We've known each other for a while anxious to hear your story and share what you guys have going on at Keystone. First off, for our listeners, can you share your origin story, kind of how you got started?
Started wrestling. I imagine similar to you and your brothers, where it's just kind of like your dad just kind of threw you guys in there. My brother and I, we started really, really young. I think I was 4 or 5. Went to some tournaments before I was even training and stuff. Hated it for a couple years. But then I was telling you about the program that I got into it at first, which is St. Raphael, which was the CYO programs in Cleveland were pretty much it. You know, all the kids who were good from Padua, St. Ed's, St. Ignatius, all those schools were only pulling from these Cleveland Catholic schools. So I didn't go to Catholic schools. I went to Bay schools, but we wrestled for St. Raphael for, my whole youth career. And it was really an awesome, environment to be around. Paul O'Donohue, who runs the Fargo teams. So he was my youth coach all growing up. And he's still coaching and getting on the mats at Bay High School. And I think he does a little bit of the youth stuff at Bay. But then did pretty good there and went on to St. Ed's and then kind of the rest is history. Once you put yourself in a program like St. Ed's,
right.
Yeah. Things went pretty good.
So from St. Ed's led you to Hofstra, right? With Coach Ryan, right?
Right. Yeah. So, the recruiting process was kind of, slow at first. And then I took second at Ironman and I beat, a kid named Mike Martin who never had lost in high school at
Great Bridge. Where is he from?
Yeah, Great Bridge. Yeah, Granby School. Yuzarski was talking about, right?
Yeah, I remember seeing him wrestle down at Virginia Duels.
Yeah, so I had a pretty crazy match with him, but came out on top, and that's when kind of the recruiting all started there. Ended up at Hofstra. I didn't know what the heck Hofstra was. I didn't know if it was where it was. I didn't know if it was Division One, but found out it was Division One, found out it was in Long Island, found out it was a really great place actually with great people and a great head coach in Tom Ryan. Wrestled there, redshirted my freshman year, wrestled there for 3 years, and then had another year of eligibility, and Tom was leaving Ohio State. So jumped on board with him and started my master's there and ended my career there and started my kind of coaching career when I was finishing my master's there.
So you finished your master's at Ohio State. I guess at what point did you know you wanted to coach? Was it Tom Ryan's inspiration or is it before then? Or what was kind of the inspiration for coaching?
Yeah, I would say that year that I spent helping, I had a really, fun time and Tom kind of just let me do, I was in sports management was my program. So a lot of the stuff I was doing for the program was kind of like a dual purpose for my master's. So I was doing a lot of marketing stuff and we broke attendance records and got a whole bunch of youth people involved to the Ohio State fan base and really, kind of got the ground running. I mean, they've since then broken attendance records and they're going to break more attendance records. They're doing a really good job.
That was when the ball started rolling really, right?
Yeah, it was really, really fun to be a part of that. And, and I, you know, I saw the business side of wrestling, and I have a fun time doing that as a head coach right now.
And from there, did you, is that when you headed down to North Carolina or what kind of?
So, yeah, I was looking for a job. I was actually looking to be a college coach, but I was never an All-American. I was just a couple-time NCAA qualifier. And I knew, you know, it was just kind of hard to, you know, and it's a kind of a cutthroat environment. But I was young and didn't have any kids and wasn't married. So I was like down to coach wherever. But yeah, Matt Ragsdale from North Carolina, he saw my post on internet that I was looking for a job coaching wrestling. And he was asking me if I wanted to be a teacher. And I had never thought about that at all. And they were hurting for teachers back then. And it was a really, really fast process. But a month later, my soon-to-be wife and I had teaching jobs in North Carolina. And that's where everything started.
Awesome. Awesome. And how long were you down there for?
So I was the assistant coach for 4 years. And then Ragsdale decided he didn't want to coach anymore. And he, actually, since then, he's been the head coach at a different school. He stepped down and I was the head coach for 3 years and now I've been at Keystone for 6 years.
Awesome. So that was that Union Pines down there? Is that where it was at?
Yeah. Union Pines High School. And as I was telling you, they just finished their first undefeated dual season. They were 21-0 this year. They just won the regional title and they're still wrestling. They got the state tournament June 26th. Can you believe that, man?
I can't imagine. You know, talking with Jamie and Coach Yazarski, and just I can't imagine competing right now. You know, it's in Ohio, right? I don't know. That'd just kill participation, I feel. You know, kids, right?
Yeah, we started so early. You know, it's just it would seem like draining. But you know, I think they started late.
Right.
Even their preseason, short. they started late, and it was short. But yeah, we were competing the whole time that they were competing too. You know, we're just doing freestyle and Greco, but it's different. You know, practicing three times a week. You know, sometimes more, but it is a little bit different.
Different pace.
Yeah, we got to experience this off season was awesome. We got to go to NHSCA Nationals in Virginia Beach. We got to go to a regional tournament in Indiana. We got to go to multiple qualifiers. We got to go to the state tournament. So not having that in North Carolina, I couldn't imagine. Like the freestyle and Greco is such a big part of wrestling to me. You know, we got the Olympics coming up. I'm so pumped for that.
Heck yeah, for sure. So, speaking on that, right, with seasons, do you like where the state tournament or how the season's structured here in Ohio, or do you feel it's how late it is impacts freestyle and Greco season?
I think it does a little bit. This was the first time that I've ever had guys go to that national tournament because it's usually such a quick turnaround. I think it's 2 weeks after the state tournament usually, whereas this year it was like a month after. So we got to take a week off. We might even take like 10 days off and then, you know, train for that national tournament, go to it and then transition back. And actually in between that, we went to a freestyle tournament. So yeah, I do think it's a little bit late. I think when you won your titles, it was the last week of February, the first week of March.
Right.
I think it's pretty good. The way Ohio does it, it's just a little bit late. As you said, like March 13th, like why are we going March 13th?
It's wild, right? Yeah. I think, you know, you have the holidays in there and, you know, like you said, you know, we're still training. Even if they push the start date back, people are going to be training, you know, all the national tournaments, you know, so that end date, I think, is the critical piece, whether you change the beginning.
And it really bit us in 2020 because we got to miss the state tournament, right? If we just had it a week before, we had our state tournament and, you know.
Half a week earlier, like, right? Half a week. Right. We were one of two states that didn't finish.
What was the other one?
I don't know, but I know, you know, Coach Andrews, he's, you know, Coach Association, we talked, and, you know, we were one of two states that didn't finish, which is just baffles my mind, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess, you know, we're blessed we had it this year, right? We got back and had a full season, you know, per se, none of the big tournaments, but yeah, it's pretty wild what we had to go through this year. But, you know, hey, one step closer to back to normal, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I look forward to getting back to having scrimmages with you guys and stuff, because yeah, we didn't get to do any of that this year because we're keeping, you know, keeping tabs on everything and just trying to do the right thing for the kids and not get anybody disqualified. So,
right.
We'll definitely look forward to getting back on the mat with you guys.
Right. So you guys, you know, you have a group freestyle going to Fargo, right? Coming
we
up.
We do. Yeah. So we have two girls, Emily Jurassic and Lydia Gould. And then we have two of our seniors, Ryan Healy and Nick Hickman. And then Tristan Green's the guy who placed that NHSC Nationals. He went to the U16 duels. His first match had a little injury and it was out. So I just talked to him on the phone today and we're going to try to get him back going. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's at summertime and he wants to do it. And it's just about, he's like, oh yeah, I'm just starting to jog now. I'm like, oh gosh, we got some time.
Right.
Over a month before Fargo. So maybe, you know, some rest is a blessing. And I told him, you know, the U16, it baffles me a little bit that they have 2 minute periods. Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't had two minute periods. It's a 4 minute match. I was like, well, the good news is you're not going to get tired, you know?
Right.
He didn't get tired in any of his matches. So I said, we'll just put a little conditioning behind your workouts and, you know, add some transition stuff. So
that changes the whole, you know, approach to the match, right?
It does. It does. It's a little bit different. I don't think it prepares our guys for that junior jump. You know, that first year juniors for most guys is usually pretty rough. So
do you guys do some training with Luther and West, or is it just mainly you guys, or do you keep in touch with those guys? Or
yeah, we had a pretty good group at our place. So we just went after school every day. And then it turned into Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then they were just going to Elyria on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But yeah, we just kind of kept it in house. We did go over to Lutheran West one time because my brother, he runs the club over there. And we were training for the state duels, which it was pretty cool. It was the first time my brother and I were able to put a team together and coach together on the same team. So that was fun. Summer. So yeah, I went over there and my brother and I ran a practice together, which was really cool.
That's awesome. So do you guys keep in touch a lot, or with Coach Russ?
My brother and I?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, yeah. My brother's my best friend. We hang out, every weekend. And
that's
yeah,
cool.
So, yeah. We play disc golf all the time and we coach wrestling together. I make him pick me up for tournaments. And yeah.
You make him pick you up? Why? So he has to drive or what?
Yeah, sometimes. Well, I picked him up a couple of tournaments too. But yeah, no, I'm just saying we're together all the time, especially, you know, in this time where it was going all these freestyle tournaments and stuff, kind of laid back. But yeah, during wrestling season, I don't think we saw Luther West at all this past year. But next year, I think we'll see him at a couple places. We'll see him at North Coast Classic we're going to. And we're going to go to Medina. Now I think we're going to go to Kenston tournament, which I heard is pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a solid team. Ton of teams there too. So yeah, been going on for a while. Yeah, their girls program over there. They got a lot of action going over there with the girls program, right?
They do, yeah. They had the one girl just graduate. I think she won two state titles. She's going to go to Fargo. I think she's going to wrestle in college. And then, yeah, they have a bunch of girls. So good for them. Yeah, it's really cool. And they're going to – I just saw announced that there's going to be a girls dual state title or something.
Yeah, it's not set this week. Yeah,
gonna take eight teams. Luther West made that cut. So yeah, we're trying to start something at Keystone. We had our girl Emily Jurassic go to the state tournament this year, and then actually recruit another girl who's gonna go to Fargo. And we had a couple other girls who decided, I don't know if I want to do this. So we're hoping that they change their minds. And we do have another girl who's going to be in eighth grade, Sage O'Brien. She's going to be pretty good. She's been in our youth thing for, you know, 6 years and was on our middle school team this year. So she'll be pretty good. So we'll see. We're just trying to, you know, recruit anybody really.
Yeah. Anything you've learned from that, right? I mean, coaching guys your whole life and now you have girls in the program, anything you've kind of learned that you didn't expect through that?
I mean, they can do it, you know.
Oh yeah,
they're tough. That's one thing you learn. You learn to treat them like the boys. You learn that you can't always treat them like the boys, but you do as best as you can, and you hold them to a high standard, and they'll achieve, and they'll even thank you for it. You know, our girls, they come to every training session that we had. They had an awesome spring. Like I said, the girl who that we added, Lydia, who qualified for Fargo, she just started wrestling in March, right? Because she wanted to join like middle of the season. I was like, I don't like doing that because it's like we have to go back to square one. So I was like, hey, why don't you join in March? And sure enough, she came our first day in March, and she's been there ever since, and she loves it. So.
That's awesome. So going back Lutheran West, right? You had one of the biggest camps in Northeast Ohio for a long time, right? You were down in North Carolina, but you made your trip up, would bring your guys up. That's why I've met a few of the coaches down that way. You know, talk about starting that. I mean, you no longer do that, correct? The camp or?
Right. Yeah. So
COVID related or kind of just going
to
get.
It was kind of COVID related. We also had kind of had plans to you know, kind of dissolve it at Lutheran West. Dave and I were talking about it, but it started. When I was on the team at Ohio State, I had some awesome teammates. I had Daggers, I had Pasillo, I had Palmer, I had JD Bergman, and I was the only one that had finished my eligibility, and so I was no longer tied, you know, to all these rules that are actually, I was just reading about all these NCAA rules that are changing,
right? People
can benefit off their, like, it's going to be wild, man. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have to shell out some money to get these NCAA wrestlers on your podcast.
Yeah, right. We'll talk about that later, part, but it's going to be scary. You know, I forget who I was talking with. Double-edged sword, man. Hopefully they're not cutting wrestling funds, you know, cause it's going to have to come from somewhere, you know?
Right. These guys couldn't start their own camp systems, and any one of those guys that I just named could have started their own camp system. So it was actually Pasillo who asked me. He was like, hey, why don't you just start a camp? We'll all come and we'll all just kind of split the money. So I was like, all right, cool. And my dad was coaching at Lutheran West. He was like, yeah, you can have the facility for free. He didn't even talk to Dave. And I was like, hey, Dave, my dad said you can have this facility. And Dave was like, fine. And we actually started it. It was kind of small the first year in the wrestling room. And it worked out really good. We didn't have to move any mats. We just came in there, did our thing for 4 days. And then I asked him, you know, as we finished, I said, hey, I can do a lot of different things. I, you know, can market the camp differently. And, you know, asked coaches to come, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I got them all back for the second year, and that was really good. And I think when you came in with Jamie, that was the third year. So my first year, I had no plans to go to North Carolina or anything, but then
how you and I crossed paths, right? I mean, we knew each other, you know, knew each mm-hmm. other. That's kind of how we, I guess.
Yeah. So Zeb was starting the Ohio,
right?
And you were with him.
Right.
And I might have contacted Zeb, and then Zeb got me in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get some of this awesome technique out there that these guys were doing, and show, you know, what the camp was all about. And you guys were a huge help with that. And the videos are still on Flow, I think. And it's
somewhere it's buried in there, right?
Right. But I think we did the camp for maybe 10 more years after that. Like I said, I think the 2019 was the last year we had camp. And I think Tom might've been there. Tom Ryan was at the camp. So, but it was really good, but we actually had the help of Defense Soap to host the guys from North Carolina. So every year the guys from North Carolina keep coming up. I think you met Joe Van Cleve before. Joe Van Cleve runs the Wrestling Factory of North Carolina. what is Yuzarsky is the warehouse.
Yes. Right. Right.
Yeah. So the Wrestling Factory would come up with Joe Van Cleve every year, and Joe would bring his sons up. Well, since then, Joe's sons are graduated from high school, and he still just brings these kids up.
And we, campus we youth.
Yeah, it was.
Morning youth, and then the afternoon would be the high school, and then you do duels even after that.
We did duels, yeah. So, it went really good. And I'm really grateful for Dave Rustler and Lutheran West for letting us host it in that facility. And I hope that, you know, it helped recruit their school a little bit, because their school is a great school and a great location with great facilities. It was really great. So last year, you know, I saw Guy Seiko opening up his new facility, and he was helping out Cleveland State kind of hush hush, you know, here and there.
He's alums, right? He has to help him out, right?
Yeah, right. I was like, hey, you know, I got some guys from North Carolina that want to host a camp. You know, can I use your facility? And he was super open for it. And we had some clinicians come up there last year, and then this year we just had a camp at Keystone. So I got to have a camp every year. You know, I got to have something that my kids are doing to come together and spend time together. So our Keystone camp went really good this year. We just did in our wrestling room. We had like 48 youth wrestlers in the morning. So all our high school kids were helping the youth camp. I was running that. And then in the afternoon we had Malave come up a day. We had Colt Sponsiller come up a day, and we had Josh Moore come up a day. So it was really cool and cost effective and got our team together. And that's really what it's all about. So I don't know if I'll do the camp thing anymore at Lutheran West or try to grow it, but it's more about, like I said, just getting our kids together and doing stuff. You know, I don't know what you guys do at St. Vincent or at St. Mary, but, you know, any form of camp, you know, so some guys, you know, travel to Wisconsin or I don't know where they're going, Pennsylvania, but we have some awesome clinicians here in Cleveland. We have some awesome schools that want to help out. Every one of those guys who came to my camp was grateful to come and
awesome clinicians that want to come to Ohio and see what's going on here too. Right.
Right. So yeah,
the guy's facility is amazing though. Right.
Really is great. Really is great. Yeah. And it's really cool to hear him, you know, tell a story about how these mats come in. You know, he like one section just like freaking rolled out. He's like, I'm not moving these mats ever again.
That's right. he's got it down, right? They're not going. They're heavy as could be. So
yep.
You talked about Coach Malave. I've had him on a couple times. Awesome guy. You know,
I was just with him yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Case golf outing, yeah.
Yeah, now he's closer to home, right? What's going on with him? I guess with your, you know, you guys plan on working together or anything, or you got to be super excited that he's closer to home now, right?
Yeah, he's actually staying.
Right, making the drive, right?
He's making the drive, so I don't know about that. I don't know how long that'll last, but yeah, it'll be cool having him back up in Cleveland. And yeah, I don't know if I'll have any guys that, you know, are getting 4.8 GPAs and 32s on their ACTs to send to him, but yeah, anything that he needs, I'm there to help him. He's an awesome guy, and we kind of pick off each other every once and again, but yeah, he's just a great friend, great family friend. We went to the Indians game a couple weeks ago with him and his family, so it's
cool. Oh, cool. Yeah, awesome guy. Went someone I've been blessed to know through the sport, so awesome to have him, you know, still in Ohio. You know, I was worried that with the changes, he's going to move outside of Ohio or something else. It's first night text, like, you know, I hope you're staying in Ohio. And then the news came out, I'm like, awesome, good stuff. So, you know, you talk about family and relationships, right? One thing off air, you talked about pie crafts and your dad, I guess, was that kind of the inspiration behind coaching? Like kind of what they provided for you, or I guess, you know,
man, yeah, definitely my dad, for sure. You know, he put me in touch with some awesome coaches. You know, if you think about it, Paul O'Donohue, you have to know him. I mean, he's just been around the sport. Awesome introduction to the sport. Just awesome person all around. Coach Urbis, you know, he's we we call him the saint, you know, at our, you know, he's the man. So to be around him and Coach Heff and Coach Leonard, and all those other coaches, I had like 20 coaches in high school. So it, you know, some awesome people. And then to be around, Tom Ryan and Donnie Pritzloff and Tommy Rollins and Ross Thatcher and, Joe Heskett, you know, all these, Lou Roselli, you know, Lou Roselli, geez, that guy, he's got a great mind for wrestling and really taught me how to run a wrestling room and run a wrestling practice. But yeah, all those guys together really helped me become the coach I am today and the person I am today. For sure.
You know, talking about your dad, right? Meeting him, you know, first time. I actually was up at that camp you had, and just the excitement, you know, when you meet him and the excitement he'd have for you meeting, you know, people, and, you know, he's everybody's buddy. What are some of the things you take away from him?
Yeah, my dad, a lot of people say this about Eric Burnett. And I love it because people say it about my dad too. And to be attached to Eric Burnett is amazing too. Right. But people say that he'll coach anybody, anywhere, anytime, you know, and that was my dad. My dad, I remember being at the conference tournament. My dad, he'd helped out me at Keystone. He'd helped out Lutheran West. He'd help out Josh at Firelands. And we were all in the same conference. So he'd be at the conference tournament. And I feel like the only team that he wouldn't coach for was Brookside. So the Brookside coach looked at him and said, "Are you just coaching against our guys?" And it wasn't that case. It was just the fact that my dad had just helped out so many different programs. So he helped out North Royalton for a long time. He helped out Bay Village for a long time. So that's definitely something I learned. So yeah, any kid who wants to come into the wrestling room, any kid who's hungry to wrestle, I'll coach him. I don't care if he's our kid, anybody, you know, we had our camp that we had was kind of for our kids. And we had some kids, you know, contact us through social media. "Hey, can we come to camp? We heard these guys are coming." I'm like, "Heck yeah." And it was really a great experience. But yeah, that's one big thing I learned. And Coach Pycraft, we were talking about Coach Pycraft, he's the same way, you know, and he learned that from Eric, you know, maybe he taught that Eric, I don't know, but he's the same way. He'll coach anybody comes to his barn, you know, him and Jimmy will get on the mat with them and show them the way.
Right. That's awesome. Anything else you have for us or anyone you think we should have on? You know, had a few of people within your network, but and you kind of, I think, have a vibe for the show of, you know, what we're trying to dig out stories and, you know, just let people tell their stories and you know, answer some of the messages we have, you know, not in Ohio, but, you know, across the country. But anyone you recommend having on?
Oh, not in Ohio?
Oh, yeah, Ohio or outside of Ohio, you know?
Well, so we were just talking about Burnett. I think he's an awesome one. That's obvious. I think Polzicki is one that would be awesome. I've heard you talk on your podcast about my cousin, Mike Czarnecki. He brings the energy.
He's your cousin?
Yeah.
No way. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow. He does have the energy.
You were talking with the Kenson guy, Varney, right?
Yeah, Coach Varney. Yeah. Yeah. Czarnecki, yeah. He was just up here in Sandusky. I saw him beginning of June up here, him and Rocco. So yeah, he's an awesome guy.
He was another inspiration for my wrestling. I watched him finish second in the state for North Royalton. And he was like, you know, just somebody you look up to. I have a bunch of cousins. My dad was one of seven. So, but to see him do that, and he was like my older cousin. I was like, I want to do that. I wanted to win, but I ended up taking second. But yeah, those are the guys that come to mind for me. Hopefully, Union Pines can wrap up this state championship and get Brian Gray on. He's the head coach for Union Pines.
Okay. Czarnecki. So I met him up here at in Sandusky. We had Fretwell, and that's where I met him at, him and Rocco. And so what's his story? Something with the Spladel or hit through somebody at the, what was his story?
Yeah. Yeah.
He, you can let him tell, but let's hear your side. Right? Just a little bit younger, right? So you probably,
Man, I got a story. Yeah. So obviously he didn't invent it, but he, that was his thing. You know, he was a Merkle guy.
Okay.
He would hit standing Merkles. I don't even know how you get in that position, maybe like a duck under, but
bye.
He put himself in these positions, right? And he would get people to shoot on his legs and he would splatel people. But yeah, he is getting mauled in the state semifinals, like mauled. think it was when it was my 14. The guy's in a single leg, getting ready to tech fall him, Plato's and then pins him. And the kid knew it was coming because that's all he did, you know, to get there. But yeah, he splatled and pinned him. And then in the state finals, I think against the Walsh kid, he's looking to splatle the kid. And the kid just too strong.
Stayed away from it. Yeah.
Yeah. But funny story. So my brother, when he wrestled for Bay before he transferred to Ed's, he had pinned like 20 kids straight. And it was all in one move. And it was all the splatle. Like I said, my cousin had a big influence on us. Lucky for me, like right after my cousin won the state tournament, the next year I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. I just want to hit splatles on people. So I was actually wrestling. You remember Mike Linsker?
I was just going to bring up Linsker. Yeah, my brother wrestled. Yeah. Same story. I was like, returning right, brother, right. Stay away from it. Stay. I think it was state quarters. They had a wrestler or something.
So Mike Linsker
wrestled Hurley.
I had wrestled him so many times and I just beat the crap out of him when we were little. And so I'm just beating the crap out of him again. And he shoots a single and I'm like, all right, sweet. I'll just splatle him. So I splatle him perfectly. He's pinned, but I laid back too much and the ref called knee pin.
Oh, gee.
And I lost it. I had never lost to Linsker. And I mean, I knew he was good, but like, I just never lost to him. And I was like, that's it.
But that was his move too, right?
So it wasn't his move then.
Okay.
It was his move after that, right? So when he got to high school, that's when he started hitting it. But I was in fifth grade hitting a splatle because my cousin hit it. And that's when I stopped hitting it. Fifth grade, I was like, I'm done hitting this move, you know? But my brother never got pinned in it. And I've hit it in practice since, but like, it's not a competition move for me. It's just, I just had a really terrible moment. I was so upset. And it was like a match that meant nothing to
right.
It was like some open tournament, but yeah.
So you don't show it. You're still bitter about the display or
anything. No, I do show it. I do show it, but you know, you show headlocks so you can teach the defense.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you gotta show make sure people are aware of positions and stuff. So absolutely. You got to show everything, especially, you know, headlock, because headlocks are coming, man.
Yeah. Right. Any level. Right. No, that's crazy. I didn't know Mike's your cousin. That's small world, man. Good dude. Man. Great guy for the sport, right?
Yeah.
Just one of the many, you know, in Northeast Ohio. And, you know, I want to make sure I'm sharing, getting some of these stories on from Northeast Ohio. But, yeah.
Like you said, unsung heroes, right? He helps Mike Zarnecki or Mike Hozicki out a lot at the at the factory.
Right.
And, you know, he goes in there and I think he runs, you know, girls practices. He's another one who's a real big proponent for girls wrestling, and he owes girls only practices. And I think he actually got that's what you guys are talking about, Jeff Varney's kid.
Yeah.
Wrestling. Cause he'll host these like 3-year-old practices. Like who's 3-year-old wrestling practice.
And he keeps the kids' attention. Right. And that Varney says he got a lot of it from Mike, right? The poop and
he's
ice.
He's got that Mike Krause energy. Mike Krause is another one you got to get on, man.
Yeah. That's some energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right. I have to get Zarnecki on for sure, man. It's I got a long list. It's funny. You know, I ask people who we should have on or people text and it's like the list is growing. It's not getting any smaller, but I guess a good problem to have. So
it is a good problem to have. And you have a good podcast that you're running here. And
oh, thanks. I'm still learning. Still learning, but it's been fun. So gets keeps me in contact, you know, with coaches and people in the sport. So anything else you have for the listeners?
No, sir. Appreciate you having me on. Tell everybody this all the time, just to promote our program a little bit. Keystone High School is a great place. Keystone Athletics doing big things. We just won the state championship in softball.
It's a powerhouse, right, for softball, right? Yeah.
We just had a kid win the state title in track and field and the long jump. So we have some really great programs and great people around Keystone High School. I'm happy to be there.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, man.